Welcome back to another episode of Mastering Social Media for Schools. I'm excited because today is a masterclass in Instagram stories for your school. This interview with Tova Tupper, who works in Highline Schools out in Washington, is powerful. They, as a school district, have made a commitment to social media, and you're going to have a lot to learn. She's going to share some ninja tips for increasing reach on Instagram stories, her advice on getting started, how she incorporates highlights on her Instagram page for the school district, and tips on engaging students through stories. You might want to get a notebook and take some notes because it's going to be really helpful. Now, if you love listening to this podcast, we would like you to hit the subscribe button. And if you can just have a couple minutes of time to leave a review, really would help give some feedback. I love to read those. And so leave me a review. And don't forget, I'm going to start out every episode with a tip, a K-12 PR tip. And today, of course, it's going to be on Instagram. I'm Andrea Gribble, a Wisconsin mom who got laid off from her corporate career and jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing exactly where that road might lead. I'm a natural-born cheerleader who discovered a way to cheer on schools through the power of social media. Turns out, social media isn't easy. I had to figure out what I was doing, and now I'm here to teach you everything I've learned. The Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast gives you simple, actionable strategies to celebrate your students and connect your communities through the power of social media. Join me as I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. Today's K-12 PR tip is all about Instagram stories. Now, if you are an overwhelmed social media manager for your school, Instagram stories may stress you out. Well, here's my tip. You don't have to be the one that does Instagram stories. We have schools that have maybe a high school principal who really loves it, or another staff member that would really love to jump in and be able to tell stories through Instagram. We also have other districts that are using student contributors on an ongoing basis to share the stories that are going on in your school or your district. It's powerful, and we have a helpful blog article on Instagram contributors with even a handy dandy download in regards to a game plan for getting your students involved. So if you are liking what you hear in regards to Instagram stories and what Tova's going to talk about, check out that resource because it could really help things go to the next level with your district without all landing on your shoulders. We hope this tip helps. And now let's get into today's interview. Hello and welcome back to another podcast episode. I'm really blessed because I have the one and only Tova Tupper, right?
Yes.
So I pronounced it right. Last episode, if you listened, I did not pronounce it right. But welcome to the show, Tova. Please share with everybody kind of some of your background and what you're all about, where you're located in this big old country of ours, far away from Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I'm located in, I work for Highline Public Schools, and we are located just south of downtown Seattle, about 15 miles. We serve the communities of Berrien, SeaTac, White Center, Normandy Park, Des Moines. If anyone's ever flown into visit Seattle, you will fly into our district because our district surrounds the airport at SeaTac Airport.
Well, then I've been there before.
Yeah.
Obviously not recently with everything, but I have. I don't think you could probably get any more different than my little community of, 300 students K-12 in northwestern Wisconsin. Can you just kind of explain your school district and some of the diversity?
Absolutely. We have about 19,000 students, 33 schools. We're richly diverse. We have around 100 languages spoken amongst our families. I think it's about 64-65% of our students qualify for free and reduced meals. It's just a really richly diverse community. And, you know, we think it's one of our best assets.
Yeah, absolutely. And how long have you been with the school district?
7 years.
7 years. And what's your official title?
My title is Assistant Director of Communication.
Okay. And so how big is, I mean, you've got a really big school district. You got 33 schools. What does your communications department kind of look like?
We have our chief communications officer, who is Catherine Carboni Rogers. And then the other members on our team are Mandy LeCompte, and she is a communications manager. We have Tiffany, who's a communications assistant. And then Rosie, who's a communications specialist.
Okay, awesome.
So we all work, you know, we all try to do as much as we can similar in some ways because we like to be able to cover for each other. But we have our own little specialties, you know, and that sort of thing.
That's awesome. And with that many different languages and stuff, that just adds a whole level of complexity to communications.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really work closely with our student support and family engagement department. They oversee, they have our family center there, which is where a lot of our translation interpretation services are available. And so we're working closely with them. I was just texting with them this morning about some translation. You know, anything we send out, we always get it translated in Spanish. And working with them on best practices of engaging families with different language preferences.
Okay. So this show is all about social media. And I know Highline, you know, you communicate in a lot of different ways. Can you just kind of share how, you know, Highline uses social media in your communications and interactions, you know, with your community, with your students, staff, all of that?
Yeah, I think that social media is definitely one of our primary channels for communication. It's definitely something that's not an afterthought in our department. We are looking, we use it as a primary tool and are driving content there every single day, multiple times a day. It's definitely just part of our strategic approach when it comes to communication, not just with our families and our students and staff, but also just our larger community as a whole. You know, it's easy to send out an email to all of our families that we have an email address on, but unfortunately, we don't have an email address for every single person living in our district. So social media is one way that we're able to reach out to the larger community.
So you've been there for 7 years. Obviously, I'm sure you've seen that grow. It's almost as long as I've been running this company. I started in 2014. So how has that journey been in regards to how you use it? And can you kind of mention different platforms that you use?
Yeah. So when I first started in Highline, my job title had social media in it. I was brought in to kind of and not start their social media because there was a Twitter handle and a Facebook page, but it wasn't being used very strategically or in a robust way. I don't think the Twitter account had been used in over a year when I came. It was an account that was created and then just
right.
And so I came in and really worked really hard to be really, really consistent on those two platforms for a long time. And I was all about I wasn't focused on the number of followers. I was focused on the amount of engagement. And that was like really, really important to me. I didn't care if we had 100,000 followers. It was more about, I want to make sure when we post something, people are engaging in a high percentage. So I focused on those two channels and really was consistent on that. And then a couple years in, we launched our Instagram account. And we were kind of slow on that. And then in the last couple years, we've kind of really ramped up on our Instagram account. And it's become a primary everyday channel that we're on just as much as Facebook and Twitter. And it's been really successful, especially the last year or so, engaging with our students, our middle and high school age students, because they are definitely on Instagram more so than Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to focus on today because I see your use of Instagram. I think it's so key. You've got different audiences, right? Facebook versus Twitter versus Instagram. And Instagram, and specifically Instagram stories, especially now that our students aren't at school. You know, we've got these temporary school closures. So can you kind of describe how you've been able to utilize Instagram stories specifically on engaging students?
Yeah, I feel really lucky because at Highline we allow our schools to have their own social media accounts. We have a policy and procedure in place that there's a process, but our schools can have social media accounts. We allow like our athletic teams to have like an Instagram account. Clubs and that sort of thing can have them, and so I really I love that because it makes my job easier. So when I'm on Instagram stories, I know that we have lots of students following us, but I know even more students are following their club's Instagram account or their school's Instagram account. So I'm often tagging those accounts in my stories. You probably, if you look at them, can't see that because I squeeze them down, the tags, and kind of dissolve it into the background. And when I share something on stories that I specifically want our high school students to know, I tag those specific accounts, and those managers at the school level are turning them into their own stories almost instantaneously. It's amazing. They must get the notifications pretty quickly and just know, oh, she's on it. I got to, do my job. It's like this unspoken partnership essentially between the accounts. And so I'm able to amplify our message to so many more students than just the ones that happen to be following the district. And so that's been, I think, really key, especially right now because school buildings are closed. I mean, our schools are still in session. Our students are still learning, but in a very different way. And so I think students are longing for connection with their teachers. I know our teachers long for that with their students. And so I think they're turning to social media and Instagram to get news, and it's great to see that our school accounts are really helping us amplify these important messages that we're trying to get out to them.
Yeah, no, you just shared so much information. I just want to kind of talk about that a little bit. First of all, Highline believes in letting everybody be part of your story. Your hashtag, and you have a lot, quite a few different ones. We are Highline and our Highline story. Mm-hmm. Your superintendent, who will be on a future episode of this as well, has really embraced, social media. So that's powerful because even though you have a small staff, which many of our listeners are like, I wish we had one person in our communications group, but the key to having successful social media is allowing people and trusting them to tell the story. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's huge. Huge, right?
It's huge for us. And our team can only be at every place, at every location capturing, so much. We can't do everything. And there are so many amazing stories and things happening at our schools with our students and our staff, and we just think it's so important to allow our staff and community and students to feel empowered to tell their own story that we can then amplify and reshare. And it makes our job so much easier. It really does. We don't have to be every place, at every time.
Yeah. And so tell us, we've got a lot of people out here that Instagram is a little bit new and we know it's all about nice pictures, but then we introduced this whole Instagram stories, which was kind of based off of Snapchat. And how did you get started a couple years ago when you got into Instagram and then started using Instagram stories? Like if somebody was just starting out, what would be maybe one or two tips that you would tell them to get comfortable?
Well, I think, Instagram, I think the feed is something, people covet, like they want a beautiful feed. So we do like make sure we use really, really high quality photos on our feed. The same goes for Twitter and Facebook, right? We're looking for good quality images to kind of drive the story. And so that's that. But Instagram stories, I think, are allowed to be a little bit more rough. They're allowed to be not as tailored or perfected. They're allowed to be kind of behind the scenes. And then, right now, we're not doing a lot of behind the scenes because we're all working from home. and no one wants to see my desk on Instagram stories. So, you know, we're relying really heavily on Canva because they have Instagram. It's really easy to create Instagram stories, you know, with graphics there. And so we're using a lot of Canva right now just because we're not actually in school, in the school buildings, I should say. So I think the biggest tip is to just go for it and try it. I think it's really important. Like, I have a personal Instagram account and I follow other people on my personal account that I think are doing a good job. And some of those people are in education, like other districts, and some of them aren't. But I'm following them and watching their stories to see how they do things and to get inspiration. So I think that's really important to figure out what is it that it's attracting you. And I think it's just also trial and error. So
yeah, you have to try. Now, you talk about having a reverse mentor. So, yes. So tell us about that.
Yeah, my nephew, Cole, is 17 and he's a junior in high school. He's not in our district. He's in a district nearby. And so I'm always asking him, well, first he follows the district account. I asked him to follow and I have him, you know, give me feedback. I'll sometimes have to text him and say, someone left this comment or, you know, this word. What does this mean? You know, if I don't know, it's a new slang word, and he'll go check it out for me. And he's like, oh, this means that, Tova. And, but he's great and he's encouraging and, he'll tell me, no, this is actually helpful. Or, maybe you should try it this way. I think just having someone, who's in the audience that you're trying to reach, having their honest feedback is really important. You know, I don't know everything about Instagram. He probably knows more than I do. So I think that's just really important to find someone who can help you through the process.
Yeah, it's really good advice. And I've got a bunch of teenagers in my house. And so they laughed at me when I started. And you start doing boomerangs and different things. And you just play around with it. And you're going to get better, just like anything in life. So tell me, so we have some of our schools, we manage social media for schools all over. And specifically in Nebraska, we have a couple student contributors that actually do Instagram stories. Has Highline played around with having Instagram takeovers? Or
we have aspirations to do that. We've looked into it. One of our high schools did it this fall, and it was really successful, and we tried to amplify that. It's definitely something we want to do. We just haven't created the structures yet to do that.
Okay. And we have a really helpful blog that I'll link in the show notes on, you know, assigning Instagram contributors and actually even a game plan that kind of talks through
awesome. The
training and then, you know, the check-ins and things like that, establishing some guidelines for them. The biggest thing is they're students first. And so that's always their priority. But they do this all the time. And so it's been powerful. I'm looking at your page right now. You've got over 3,000 followers on your Instagram page. I love the fact that, again, in your stories, you're tagging some of those other pages, so that increases the views. Now, tell us about highlights, because Instagram stories, one of the advantages of trying it out is it only lives for 24 hours. So if you screw up, it's not that big a deal, but there is an archive in your profile, and then you can put things on your highlights, and you've got them really well branded and really nice visuals. So can you tell us when do you decide to put something on highlights, and how is that kind of organized for you?
Yeah. So right now the top highlights are really focused around the coronavirus response. So we have one about meal sites. We have one about, like, class of 2020 has been something we've really talked a lot about on Instagram stories, just kind of supporting our seniors. And so I don't put everything on highlights, but it's stuff that I know won't, will last, you know, longer than, you know, the message lasts longer than 24 hours. And then sometimes I'll actually go in and remove highlights. So for example, for our meal sites, if meal site locations and times have changed, because, you know, over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks or so, we've kind of had to adjust our meal sites. I'll go in and remove the old ones from the highlights. So then if people are looking at that information, it's the most current and updated meal site times and that sort of thing. So that's kind of how we transition that and what we're doing. So we have meals, seniors, I think we have device pickup, because that's been a big thing for us, is getting devices out to seniors or to all students.
Support.
Yeah. So community support resources that are provided to our community, you know, outside of Highline, that sort of thing. So
that's really powerful. Another thing, and you recently wrote a blog, and that's specifically why I reached out right away, because I'm like, this blog is awesome, from NSPRA, the National School Public Relations Association. Mm-hmm. But talking about building engagement and asking questions, because Instagram stories makes it super easy. So can you just kind of explain that portion of some of your story and what you've done?
Yeah. So I'll share an example. Earlier this school year, before coronavirus happened, we had been on a monthly basis partnering with our Secondary Success and College and Career Readiness Department to host monthly Instagram Q&As. And so every month we'd have a different theme related to college prep or career prep or, you know, financial aid support, that sort of thing. And so we would pose a general question one afternoon. And then the next day I'd meet with my college and career folks. We'd sit in a room, we'd open up a Google Doc, we'd transfer over the questions onto the Google Doc, we'd all take a stab at typing in the answers, and then I would take that content and in real time create Instagram stories with the answers to those questions. And every month it grew with participation and the number of questions asked. And it was just a really great way to engage our seniors or our high school students. And then it was really fun because we started to see middle school students paying attention and asking some questions about what they can do in middle school to think about that type of stuff, which is really awesome because, of course, we want our middle school students to be thinking about life after high school. But so to have them kind of watching what's going on at the high school level, I think was really great too. And I imagine we'll probably start up with that again, you know, when things settle down a little bit.
I love it because, you know, social media is meant to be social. It's not mm-hmm. just about pushing things out and then like wanting to shut comments off. And because Instagram is, I mean, yes, there are moms on there. I mean, it's a lot of moms and students, but that's where you're going to get that engagement from your students. And then you're able to listen. Mm-hmm. And then I bet, you know, with a lot of your other initiatives, you're able to maybe say, hey, this is an opportunity for us to take this a little bit farther. It's powerful.
Absolutely. It is. Yeah, social media is such a two-way conversation. I can't imagine, you know, I had someone emailed me from another district. I don't remember where. And she was trying to get her district on Instagram. And the superintendent was hesitant. And she said, do you guys turn off comments? And I said, no, that's the point of it is to have a two-way conversation. You can't just be blasting out information. You have to be able to receive it, negative, positive, good, all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I think social media is a powerful two-way communication tool.
Absolutely. Obviously, you guys have a lot of things working well, and you've shared some really helpful tips already. Is there any other tips that you could share, you know, whether it be Instagram or whether it be other things as far as what's working well in your district?
Well, it was one of the tips I mentioned in that blog post, and it's one that I actually added last minute, and it's about responding to our seniors, and it kind of or not just our seniors, to our students. You know, I try my best to respond to everyone who sends us a direct message on Instagram, even if I've already answered the question or I don't know the answer or, you know, it feels repetitive or it doesn't even feel like a real question because it's not asked in a complete sentence. Like I always try to do that because especially right now, I feel like our students are needing some support from afar, and it's the very least I can do. And so I just think it's so important. If you get a direct message on your social media account, you should be responding to it, especially if it's a student. Because I've seen some people say, oh, I never respond if it's a student. But from my perspective, I think we really need to respond to our students when they ask us questions.
Absolutely. It builds that relationship. And right now, it's the only way we can really be building the relationship.
Yeah, and then you'll know that someone will like respond, and then they'll want to engage with the page, and they'll want to follow along, and they'll want to tell their friends. I think that that helps drive engagement. It's a win-win for everyone. So I think that responding to those DMs is really important.
Yeah. Now, as you look into these summer months, which are going to look a little bit different, we don't know exactly how they're going to look, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys thought about how you're going to be using social media as you look ahead to next school year? Like, have you done any planning for that? Or
you know, every summer we always do some sort of like mini campaigns over the summer to make our lives easier for social media, just because usually it's a time of year when people are taking vacation and there's kind of less happening in our schools because it's summer break. So usually we'll do like every Tuesday, we'll do like a learning tip, and every Monday is Monday meals, and we'll remind people about free meals. Usually on Thursdays, we do a Throwback Thursday. So we've always done kind of like a weekly mini campaign throughout the summer. Yep. So I imagine we would do something similar this year again, but it will probably most likely absolutely look different just given our circumstances. You know, we don't know at this point if we're going to be able to offer summer schools because of what's going on. We're still waiting. So we will, of course, have some sort of plan and structure and likely some weekly, you know, mini campaigns throughout the summer. But I couldn't tell you exactly what that looks like right now.
Well, those are some really good thoughts. And, you know, we call them campaigns. Sometimes that name like freaks people out. It's just features, right, that you do each
week. Yeah, I mean, and I think it's really easy because it means on Mondays we're going to talk about meals. And what are we going to talk about? You know, every Monday we're going to talk about meals. Every Tuesday we're going to talk about learning tips. What are some things kids can be doing to be learning at home over summer break? Every Thursday we're going to talk about like a Throwback Thursday. We're going to feature an old news celebration or an old photo. We're going to partner with our local historical society to help us get that content. Every Wednesday we might talk about construction news because we have a lot of school construction going on. I think it helps us focus our content, and then it allows us to not have to overthink or be stressed about social media throughout the summer when, you know, people are kind of moving on vacations and there's less going on. So
yeah. And you can plan ahead. So then you're not like stressed out of what I'm going to post. So
we'll sometimes plan ahead so much that we'll write every Meal Monday post before July comes and schedule everything out for the whole summer. And then you don't have to worry about it. It's really nice.
Yeah. It's really nice to not have to worry about it until something like what just happened. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I got to change everything because
Absolutely. Basically
the whole world changed. But that was very unique.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Tova, this has been like a masterclass of tips and tricks and strategies. Really, really helpful. As we kind of wrap up, what message do you want to share to other school PR friends out there across the country that are, you know, working on behalf of their schools? Anything you'd like to just say to them?
I think that it's just really important to take care of yourself because this is a marathon that we're in, especially right now. And I want each of you to be your best self in the long run. And so when you have the moments to unplug or take care of yourself, take advantage of it because we need you, because you are so important with what's going on right now in our schools and in our society. So yeah, that's my message.
Yeah, very true. Burnout is a thing, you know, in a lot of cases, and a lot of educators are dealing with that right now. But school communicators have been put in such a tight spot because you're learning and making plans, and then all of a sudden your governor comes on and it totally flips everything. And then in regards to being engaged and answering questions, it can be really stressful. So we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of each other and reach out. People can follow you on Twitter. You know, you're well connected to the school PR folks across the country. I'll definitely share the links to, you know, your Instagram page.
Absolutely.
And the website and that blog article that you had shared, which is really, really helpful. I'm sure if they had specific questions, they could probably tweet you? Is that?
Yeah, or email, either one. Yeah, I'm happy to answer questions, Twitter or email. Yeah, and if you have my cell phone, I know some people have my cell phone, they can text me too.
Awesome. Well, I won't, because of the wellness part, I'm not going to give out your phone number on this, but they can reach out. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Tova. I really appreciate it. I know that everybody got a lot out of it. And hey, guys, until next time, keep telling those stories. We'll see you next time. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. And if this podcast is helping you and your school with social media, could you do me a favor? Would you please leave me a review? It's going to help me help even more schools across the country. And that is my mission. Now, if you're looking for more helpful blog articles, webinars, short videos, check out my website, socialschool4edu.com. It's going to have a lot of information that can help you. And until next time, keep telling those stories.